button so that we can go forward. Of course, a Navy man, I dished out some $10 bills, $20 bills, and was able to take ownership of this vehicle that I had so prized before, 4 years earlier. So now I'm driving back to Norfolk, Virginia, on Highway 10 with 245 horsepower, V8 engine, power seats, and an 8-track tape player. Past Loma Linda from Los Angeles, past Blythe, went through the desert and hit Phoenix and past Tucson and was driving into New Mexico and went up through Texas, El Paso, and right about, I guess a little bit before Odessa and Midland, you know, you go over the Rio Grande and there's a mountainous area. And so I realized in back of me there is a truck, a 16-wheeler behind me, and he's driving very close. And I felt that that was kind of strange, especially because of the fact he was not honking. He's not saying move out of the way. So I would pull to the right. The truck would pull to the right. I'd pull to the left to let him go by, and he would pull to the left. And then I noticed that he would get closer. So I'd pull to the right again. He'd pull to the right. I'd pull to the left. So I tried to speed up a little bit. I sped up to about 80 miles per hour, and he's still right behind me. And he even got so close that he touched, bumped my car. I said, something is strange about this. So I sped up to 90. And, of course, he sped up. I even got up to 100 miles an hour, and yet he was right on my tail. So what was I to do? What could I have done? What would you have done? Well, I'll tell you what I did. It was time for me to put the pedal to the metal. And it wasn't too long before I realized that that truck was moving further and further back, and out of my rearview mirror, it got to the point where I couldn't see it anymore because I had put the pedal to the metal. And that Cougar was going extremely fast. Now, it was going downhill, so I don't know how fast I was going, but it was pretty fast. Could it be that we are living in a time where it's not safe to slow down in your Christian experience? Could it be that putting the pedal to the metal means that you're accelerating, pushing the accelerator or the gas pedal so far that it cannot go anymore? And could it be that we have reached a time where we need to now push the accelerator to its maximum limit? Now, when the manufacturers of the Cougar built that car, they had in their owner's manual, it's not recommended to drive faster than what the car could actually go. But yet the car was built to drive in excess of 120 miles an hour. And I think in those days, I think it used to say 140. It says 120 now because I looked on my Maxima and it was 120. But I thank God that the car could go faster than that because I'd be a dead man. And of course, when you're in danger, you're not thinking about the speed limit. But you and I were born with certain limitations. But when we're born again, we are equipped with resources that defy limitations. And that's why it's so special that these individuals are being baptized, because we're seeing a transformation and the work of the Holy Spirit working in lives, doing things that are unnatural, working miracles in their lives. So So being born again means that we have been equipped with special resources that exceed limitations, so that when we're sad, we can be glad. When we're down, we can be up. When we're nervous, we can be calm. When we're hard-pressed on every side, we don't have to be crushed. When we're perplexed, we don't have to be in despair. When we're persecuted, we know that we're not forsaken. And when we're struck down, Paul says, we are not destroyed. And Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And so that's how we stretch beyond our limitations. That's how we exceed the limits of our capabilities and our nature. I don't believe that we really know how fast we can go until we put the pedal to the metal in our Christian experience. I didn't know that car could go that fast. I read about it. I saw what the tachometer said, but I'd never had the experience. And I hope that you never have that experience of driving 120 miles an hour, unless you have to. But do you really know what's under your hood? Do you really know what's on the floor of your Christian experience? Do you really know how long you can endure and how far you can travel and how much weight you can bear? You will never know until you put the pedal to the metal. So why should we put the pedal to the metal? Answer, because there's a truck behind us. And do you know why this truck is behind us? Because it wants to distract us, to destroy our confidence in God, to break our spirit, and to break our hold on God. Now, do you know who owns the truck that's behind us? There's a whole fleet of trucks, many trucks that are designed to run you off the road. There's the pride truck and the gambling truck and the pleasure truck and the illicit affair truck. There are trucks out there, but the worst truck, church, is the truck of discouragement. It is the most successful weapon that the devil has. It can come out of nowhere when you least expect it. Just as I was driving and all of a sudden I looked in my rearview mirror, this truck was right behind me. I didn't hear him coming. He just came out of nowhere. So how can you be kept from being run off the road? There's only one solution, and it is to put the pedal to the metal in your prayer life. Amen. Prayer, I'm not talking about just any kind of prayer, but prayer is just having your foot on the pedal. That's prayer. Anybody can pray. Father, I thank you for this, and you pray all around the world. But what is the prayer that puts the pedal to the metal? That is the prayer of faith. Now, some of us may push that pedal in our prayer life 35 miles an hour, 45 miles. Some may even get up to 70. Some may even push 100. Have you ever put the pedal to the metal in your prayer life? Have you ever been in a situation so terrible that you had to pray all night long, like Jesus? And I'm not necessarily talking about the length of time, but I'm talking about the intensity of your prayer life. Turn with me to James 5, verse 17. James 5. Did we pray? I hope we prayed. Because, Father, give us more power. Give us more strength as we open your word now. Help us, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of James. James, the fifth chapter. Now, the Bible says in James 5:17, it says, Elijah, well, let's go to 15. It says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. Not just any kind of prayer. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, it will be forgiven. Amen. Elijah, verse 17, had nature just like ours. He prayed how? Earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Earnest prayer. And then it says at the bottom, the effectual, fervent, earnest prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Not just a compulsory prayer. So when we're talking about putting the pedal to the metal, we're talking about praying a prayer of faith. I was in a meeting years ago in a field where I pastored, and we all got together, and they talked about prayer, and prayer was on the program, and prayer was talked about and written about, and we discussed prayer, and we read about prayer, and we prayed, but nothing happened. We were just into the program of prayer. You see, we never took a risk. We never really expected God to do anything. And you know, you can just be praying and praying, but not really expecting God to do anything. But the prayer of faith is a prayer that expects God to come through. The prayer of faith, and the Bible says in Hebrews 11, without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's the prayer of faith. You've got to believe that he is. Mark 9:23 says, if you can believe all things, if you can believe all things are possible to him that believeth. Do we really believe when we pray? Or are we going through the motions? Are we praying with no feeling of earnestness? But putting the pedal to the metal in your prayer is a prayer that lays hold on the promises of God and will not let go until heaven hears. That's the prayer of faith. That's the prayer of faith that Jacob had. He said, Father, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. Amen. It's the prayer of faith. And that's how Elijah prayed. Elijah believed that when he prayed that God heard him. He believed based on the promises of God. He believed out of the context of his relationship with God. He went to Ahab in verse 17, chapter 17 of 1 Kings. Unannounced, uninvited, walked through the doors of the king's court and said to Ahab, a nation, the king of a nation that was steeped in idolatry, worshiping the idol of Baal. He said, there will be no rain for 3.5 years. He turned around and walked out. That same Elijah believed that when God said it, that he would come through. And in verse 8 and chapter 18, we read about Elijah in the midst of this drought, because God had turned the rain off and everything began to dry up. But there was a little widow woman who was about to cook her last meal with a few grains of flour and a few ounces of oil, and she was going to feed it to her child and him going to die. They see the man of God coming, and the man of God says, feed me first and the Lord will provide. That didn't make any sense whatsoever. And so, but the lady had faith. She fed him. And then she went back to feed her family, and the meal never dried up. There was a continuous supply throughout the drought. The oil never ran dry. And then when her son got sick, Elijah prayed for the widow's son. He stretched himself over the young boy who was dying, and he prayed 3 times, the Bible says. He says, don't let the son die. Let his breath come back in him. And the boy revived because of the prayer of faith. And see him now in chapter 19 as he stands arrayed against the false prophets of Israel. And he says to them, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. He says, if Baal is God, then let him answer by fire. But if God is God, then let him be the one who answers by fire. And the story goes that Elijah prayed, and fire fell from God and destroyed the altar. He was a man of faith. And he's placed on record to give us an example of the prayer of faith. But not only should we have a prayer of faith, but pushing the pedal to the metal also means that we pray persistently. We need the prayer of faith. We need to pray in faith, but also to pray persistently. Turn with me to Luke 18:1. Luke, the 18th chapter, verse 1. Jesus spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. In other words, we should pray and not give up, putting the pedal to the metal in our persistence in prayer. It's easy to give up, and Jesus is not saying, you know, don't try to work in harmony with your prayers. He's not saying, you know, pray with the exclusion of effort, to the exclusion of effort. But pray while you're cooperating with heavenly agencies. He's not even saying neglect your responsibility, your prayer responsibility. But what the text does say, that keep on praying when prayers are delayed. Don't give up. He spoke this parable to them that men should always pray and not lose heart, not become discouraged. The woman took her case to the judge. The Bible says that he's an unjust judge. He hears the case. He throws it out. She brings it back again. He throws it out. And finally, the Bible says that he wouldn't grant it or grant the request of the woman, though I don't even fear God nor regard man, but because this woman troubles me, not because she's cute, but because she troubles me, she's getting on my nerves, I'm going to give this woman justice. And then it goes on to say, shall not God hear what the unjust judge say? Listen to what he says, the unjust judge. Learn a lesson. And contrast that with the character of God. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on earth? I used to wait on the bus stop when I was young, and I remember, you know, why is that bus taking so long? You know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, sometimes an hour would go by. We didn't have a great bus system as you do here in Hawaii and in Los Angeles. But you know, when that bus came, I forgot about all of my disappointment. You think I would get on the bus and say, well, Mr. Bus Driver, why did you take so long? No, because I'm happy that the bus is actually here. And Jesus says he'll answer speedily. When he does answer, it will be right on time. So don't give up on your prayers. Don't stop praying for your children. I know it seems like a long time, but keep on praying. God is hearing. Don't stop praying for your relatives. Don't stop praying for the government. Don't stop praying for your spouse. Don't stop praying for your weaknesses and your sins, for God will give you victory. So push the pedal to the metal in your persistence in prayer. Why shouldn't we give up? Because God is a God, according to Isaiah 40, verses 28, that doesn't get tired. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even youth will faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and shall walk and not faint. That's the kind of God we serve. A God of no limits. In Luke 1:37, it says, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." A God who breaks all barriers. I think about Mary when she was visited by the angel. The angel said, "Hail Mary, blessed art thou among women. That which is born in you shall be called a holy thing, and he shall rise and take the throne of David." And Mary said, "Well, but I don't know a man." And the angel said two things. He said, "You don't need a man." That's the first thing he said. You don't need a man. And the second thing was that your cousin Elizabeth is in her 6th month, even though she's of old age. But you don't need a man. Why you don't need a man? Well, because the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and he will do that which is impossible. Then it ends by saying, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." So we must remember that as we think about our prayer life, praying not only with faith, but also praying with persistence. But there's a third area where we can put the pedal to the metal, and that is understanding who we are completely, and that means understanding our weakness. You know, sometimes we don't want to look at our weakness. We don't want to go all the way and really see what our weaknesses are. We don't really want to admit our weakness. But God is asking us today to push the pedal to the metal in our understanding of our weaknesses. You see, Elijah was a man of faith, but he had weaknesses. I remember when I first came into the church, I said to my Bible worker, "You know, everyone seems so strong and together." And she looked at me and she says, "You know, everybody in here is weak. You know, there's only one strong, and that is Christ. Oh, yes, our strength comes from him, but he's the source of strength." And Elijah, this man of faith, this man who put the pedal to the metal, actually, according to our scripture reading, ran in the wrong direction. Right? He was putting the pedal to the metal, but he was running from who? Jezebel. You know, he was discouraged and disappointed. You know, after that exhibition of God's power on Carmel, he was disappointed because he thought that now the entire nation would move toward revival. And he also felt that Jezebel or Ahab would not be influenced by Jezebel, that Ahab would make up his own mind. But no, it didn't happen. She issues a threat, and the Bible says in 2 Kings 19, I'm sorry, 1 Kings 19, it says, "And when he saw that, Jezebel sent a message to Elijah, 'So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time.' And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. And he went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die." You know, Christians have a way of giving up. You know, suicide is a big problem, especially among teenagers in the United States. But Christians, we have a way of, you know, we say, "Lord, take me. I don't want to live anymore." You know, and this is where Elijah was. He was discouraged. Okay? He was discouraged. I don't know if you've ever been there where you're discouraged and you say, "Lord, I just don't want to live anymore." You know, I had that experience. And, you know, the Lord brings us to our senses real quick. You know, I'm driving and I'm saying, "Lord, take me, Lord, take me." The Lord says, "I can take you. What if I just move that truck that's coming in your direction, just move it into your lane, and you can go out like that?" I said, "I'd rather be a living sacrifice, you know, Not ready to go that way. I've got children to take care of. You know, things can get so dark that you actually want to give up. And this is what happened to Elijah. He was discouraged. The devil couldn't attack him. I mean, this man was a man of faith, an example to us. But yet he's praying that he might die. But he's not in a bad position, because our real challenge comes when we're weak. And when we are weak, that's when God is strongest. In fact, if you read, turn over to 2 Corinthians 12. See, we need to understand ourselves. We need to understand our weakness. Let's start with verse 6. He says, let's go to 7. Lest I be exalted above measure, the abundance of revelation, a thorn was given in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so the further we acknowledge our weakness, the greater the power of God will be demonstrated. It's not saying that he, you know, wants us to walk around, you know, oh, we're weak and we can't do anything about it. But if you acknowledge, yes, I got a problem. I got a weakness for money. I got a weakness for gambling. I got a weakness for alcohol. I got a weakness for women. I got a weakness. Then he says, my strength is made perfect when you acknowledge your weakness and give room for me to express my power through you. Sometimes the best of men, valiant men, gave up. Even Moses lost his temper. And Elijah, running from a woman. Even Jesus felt his weakness in his human nature. You know, he's asking his disciples, you know, pray with me, pray with me. Right there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Twice he said it. And the third time, you know, right before the third time, he says, look, I'm coming to you. Can you not pray with me at least 1 hour? Now, why would Jesus need somebody to pray for him? Have you ever been in a position where you need someone just to pray for you? Amen. Jesus felt that in his human nature. He felt that. He felt weak. He felt that he was being separated from God. He struggled. And inspiration says he prayed that prayer 3 times. The cup was trembling in his hands. He prayed, Lord, take this cup from me. I don't want to drink it, Father. The ultimate darkness. And legions of evil angels were surrounding him. Not just, you know what a legion is, 5,000. Legions of evil angels were right there in the garden of Gethsemane, pressing their darkness upon him. And that's where many people give up. When you got a legion on top of you in the night season, you will take the pills, you will throw away the towel, you'll take the gun and just point it. Legions, they tell you what to do. They say there's no hope. There's no hope for you in God. They tell you all your mistakes. And sometimes he uses individuals to help him do that. But let me give you good news this morning. It says nothing is more apparently more helpless, yet really invincible than the soul that feels its nothingness and relies wholly on God. It's okay to be weak. That's at the point when we're weakest, God sends us help. Amen. And sometimes if we just hold on, he'll send help. Jesus, there was an angel. The angel Gabriel actually came down, tried to comfort Jesus, took his head in his lap. Jesus was about, he was discouraged, depressed. And he said, it's going to be all right. He said, look toward the sky. Count the number of the stars. Satan was telling him, you know, this in vain. They're not going to accept your sacrifice. It's a worthless effort. your own disciple has forsaken you. One has sold out to you or sold you for a few pieces of silver. It's no use. I know you're heartbroken, but forget it. But that angel says, no, no. So there will be souls saved, as many as the stars in the sky. That's how many souls are going to be saved. So I'm encouraging you to go on. God is on your side. And when we're at our lowest, that's when God sent an angel. And that's what he did for Elijah. Sent an angel. Sent an angel to help him. The angel says, get up and eat. The journey is too far for you. You're not where you're supposed to be. You know, you shouldn't have ran. You should have just waited. But he says, you've got to go. Angel fed him. It's nothing like angel's food, you know. Amen. And then he went back to sleep. He just wanted to get a little taste of it and rest a little bit more. Then he fed him again. He said, wake up. The journey is too long for you. Elijah, eat. Elijah ate. And the Bible says that's when Elijah put the pedal to the metal. Amen. Because the Bible says he ran 40 days and 40 nights without stopping. From one point to the next, and that was over 200 miles he ran. Amen. Putting the pedal to the metal. Why? Because he had emptied himself. And he was at a point where God can help him. And I suggest to you that that's where we need to be. We need to be where God can help us. We need to put the pedal to the metal in our prayer, in exhibiting the prayer of faith. Put the pedal to the metal in our persistence in prayer, and also put the pedal to the metal in our understanding ourselves and our weakness and our need for his power. And that's when God comes through. See, the weapon of discouragement is the devil's choice weapon. It's his anesthetic that he uses to anesthetize you before he cuts out your heart. Okay? That's what he uses. He destroy your marriage, destroy your home, destroy your church through discouragement. But how many want to say today, I don't want to yield to discouragement? Raise your hand. How many want to say, I don't want to yield to temptation? I don't want to yield to fear. I don't want to yield to doubt. You know, you can tell me all my mistakes, devil. But I'm trusting in the Lord, and I'm putting my pedal to the metal, to wait patiently when everything seems dark. This is what we must learn. Churchill, toward the beginning of World War II, said these words, an example of not giving up and persistence and doggedness. He said, we shall go to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and the oceans. We shall fight on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing, the grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender, even if, which I do not for a moment believe, this island or a large part of it were subjugated and starving. Then our empire beyond the seas, armed and guarded by the British fleet, would carry on the struggle until in God's good time, the new world with all of its power and might steps forth to rescue the liberation of the old. He said at the Harrow School in the United Kingdom in 1941, October 29, he said, never give in. Never give in, never, never, never give in nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in, except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force, never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. And that's what God wants us to do, never give in. Put the pedal to the metal. Put on your seatbelt, start the engine, and get in your vehicle, get in your church, and put the pedal to the metal. Slam your feet on that gas pedal and go as fast as you can go, because the truck is behind us. But through God's help, we can overcome. If that's your desire, why don't you just raise your hand? You want to say, today I want to put my foot on the pedal, not just on the pedal, but I want to depress it all the way down.